And what I would like to ask you as you read these passages, does God make a difference in the way he hands out punishment? I mean, are some punished more severely and some less severely? I'm still in the wrong chapter. I'm still with Matthew 10 instead of 11. All right. Start with verse 20. Then he began to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, notably ungodly cities at that time, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. What does this signify as to the degree of punishment when he says it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for Chorazin and Bethsaida? Well, Elkins, there are degrees of punishment. Dr. Pieper and the dogmaticians speak of degrees of damnation. Now, I'm not sure that that is a fortunate word. They are all damned. But there are degrees of severity in the punishment, and how God manages that, I don't know. That's his business. And being the all-wise and the almighty God, I'm sure he gets the job done. Then he goes on, and you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? Make a question out of it. In the King James Version, they assume that it was exalted to heaven when the Lord moved there. You shall be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Now, what makes the difference in the degree of severity of punishment? Last one?
The availability of the saving word?
Yes, and what use you made of the opportunity that you had. This is a very, very important thing. And here I'm going to get critical of something in our synod. I tried once to get it rectified, and I had no luck at all. Along about 1940 or so, our synodical catechism was being revised. And all us pastors, I was in the parish at the time, had the glorious opportunity for making suggestions about improving the synodical catechism. And I found that this passage was in a parenthesis under the doctrine of eternal damnation. Now, how many of you have taught confirmation instruction? Some of you have experience. Will you tell me, is it always easy to get everything in that you should get in? Terribly hard. What'll happen to something that the synodical fathers put into parentheses? That's where it stays. And later on, I preached, of course, in my church, and this text came up, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, and so forth. And I preached on the degrees of punishment. And you know what some of the people told me after the service? First time in our life that we ever heard that. That happened in two or three different congregations where I preached, they said, it's the first time in our life that we have ever heard that. They accepted it gladly, but they said they had not heard it before. That's a shame. Go ahead.
Something in what Ernie said up there about the absence of the gospel, the absence of the word as being a factor in the degree of damnation?
Yes.
Did you want to speak on that?
Yes, that belongs to this. Those who have never had a chance to know the truth will surely not be punished as hard as those who had the truth and rejected it. That follows, and there is a passage that I still want to bring in before the bell catches, although we got a few minutes left. And if you will let me bring it in here, it's in Luke 12:48. Now this belongs to a parable, and Dr. Stege will tell you that you must never establish a doctrine on the basis of a parable that is not otherwise established. He does not say you can't preach a doctrine in connection with a parable, but make sure that it is elsewhere. Well, was it pretty clear in Matthew 11 about Chorazin and Bethsaida and all that? I thought it was mighty clear. Now maybe the parable will make good sense to us. Well, we got to start with verse 41. The Lord had told them a parable about the coming of the Son of Man. And St. Peter, who always was interested in what the Lord said, but didn't always understand everything too well, said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? He takes a picture from the life in Palestine at the time, which they all knew, where they had great households and had many servants, many of them slaves. And he says, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing, giving all the servants what they need. Truly I tell you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, acting as if he were the master, and not even a good master, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will punish him and put him with the unfaithful. And now that servant who knew his master's will, but did not make ready or act according to his will, shall receive a severe beating. In the King James Version, shall be punished with many stripes. But he who did not know and did what deserved a beating shall receive a light beating, shall be punished with few stripes. Now I guess the question is he only talking about what happened in households, or is this a parable foretelling what will happen on Judgment Day? It is surely in the whole context of Judgment Day and of our Lord's return. Yes?
Okay, would you say that for those who, not knowing, whatever presented with gospel and so forth, would they receive eternal punishment as opposed to?
Well, the Bible does not permit me to say that they would not. But it would be a lighter punishment. Now, when you have a picture of a lake of fire, it's very hard to think that some get a lighter punishment than others. Is that the only picture of damnation? It is being banished from the face of Christ, where there is joy forever, banished from the holy angels. The picture of eternal fire is one, and a very prominent picture of hell. So we must leave it to God to work it so that every man gets the amount of beating that he's got coming. All right?
Okay, a lot of people have difficulty with this idea that ignorance still meets out punishment. The New Book Take a passage by 2 Peter 3:4, which talks about the judgment that all may repent, God delaying and being patient in his judgment, that all may repent.
Yes, we surely use that passage to show that God is not a brute, that God is a gracious God who wants men to repent, who sent his Son into the world, who wants his gospel preached, and the Holy Spirit is earnest about wanting to convert men. One of the problems of people is always that they can't let God be God and themselves remain creatures. We want to, we want to do the Lord's thinking for them. We just aren't smart enough to do that.
Go ahead. This passage isn't saying then that all people have the opportunity.
No, it isn't saying that. There is one passage that sheds some light on your question in Romans. Those that have sinned without law will perish without the law. That is without the revealed law. That's about all I can give you. There are many questions about the last things and about God's dealings which we cannot answer in this life. We give the answers we have under law and gospel, and that is what the Lord expects us to do. Now I saw a hand over here, Elkins, and then
there are different degrees of punishment. Like apparently there must be different degrees of sin.
There are different degrees of sin, and of course there are. We had a student here once who denied that flatly. He says all sins are on the same level. One is as serious as the other. Is this true?
Before.
You were taught that? Get it out of your system. And the Lord Jesus says to Pilate, therefore he that hath delivered me to thee hath the greater sin. The Lord Jesus distinguishes between greater and lesser sins. And I don't know how much I should make of the words used in the original for sin. Some of them meaning to miss the mark, some of them meaning to slip, some of them meaning to fall. The dogmaticians have in particular distinguished as the most serious sins those that are done intentionally against better knowledge. You might take one from St. Paul. He tells what a terrible fellow he was before his conversion. He says, but I received mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Sin that is committed in ignorance is still a sin and punishable, but a sin that is committed against better knowledge, that is much more serious. Okay, Vanessa.
A question that sometimes follows when you talk about degrees of punishment is the degrees of heaven.
Yeah. Dr. Pieper will tell you, don't use the term degrees of salvation, because they're all saved. He says degrees of glory. And I think this is a good distinction. Our dogmaticians, for all the fact that they were human and that they erred at times, did some very, very good and careful thinking. And here is a place where you can really follow them. We don't say, you are going to be saved altogether and you only 90%, and somebody the malefactor on the cross only a wee little bit. They are all saved, but they all there are different degrees of glory. Now, shall I tell a very poor joke at the end that an evangelist used, where a certain man who hadn't been such an exemplary Christian died, but he was saved, and he came up to heaven, and he wanted to claim his mansion in the skies, and it was a pretty poor sort of an apartment, and he complained to the Lord, and the Lord reported to have said to him, "That's all the lumber you sent up here." I wouldn't tell that one in the pulpit, but outside of the pulpit, if somebody needed it, I think I would use it. All right, I think that our time has come, and now tomorrow morning,
we be permitted to use
our Bible. Use your Bible, use your confession. I don't think you ought to use your notes or paper stock math. I don't think you're going to use that. Thank you.
I'm Thank you.